Channel switched.
Clicking on it. Oh, okay.
You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the plane. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Cover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Now, on with the audio chat. Hello everybody, it's John Lebon here on August 31, 2015. It's just after midnight here in Brisbane, Australia, and I very rarely get to sleep at a good time on Sunday nights for whatever reason. So I thought tonight I might finally get around to doing something that I've been wanting to do for a little while, and that's addressing some of the things that have been said about me and my work by certain fakeologists. And I come in peace. I don't come to attack anybody. I just thought it'd be worth me spending some time addressing some of the things that have been said. And my plan is to eventually upload this audio to my channel as well, so the fakeologists can listen to it first. But I will eventually upload it to my channel. I'm about 5 or 6 or 7 videos behind, but it might take me a while to get it up on my channel, but eventually that will be the plan. So what I'm hoping to do today is to run through some of Kayham's writings on fakeologist.com. Then I want to read out some posts by Simon Shack on Clues Forum and my reply to a thread on Clues Forum. I'll read those out verbatim. Then I want to read out some Wikipedia articles which present the official story that I challenge. And I'm not sure how long this might take. It might take me 20 or 30 minutes or more. I'm not too sure. But hopefully, by the end of this, some of the people out there who follow Fakeologist might be more familiar with my side of the story, if that makes sense. I don't really want to couch it in those terms, but I'm sure most of you get where I'm coming from. And you'll have to forgive me if I'm speaking softly. I do live with other people, and I don't want to wake them up, so hopefully I'm speaking in a way that comes through clearly. So let's get started then. I've got together on my browser here a few posts that I think are worth reading out. Now, obviously, all fakeologists are more than familiar with Kay Hamad. She has her own show, Kayham Radio, on Fakeologist. She's done more than 40 episodes and is generally, I think, a terrific fakeologist and someone who I usually listen to. And I don't take any of what's been said personally. So I still listen to Kayham's work, and there's just one thing we disagree about. And that thing is me, and that's fine. I don't really mind people questioning me. You should be questioning me. You should be questioning everybody. So, again, I come in peace. This is just me to put my side of the story out there for anyone who's interested. Now, back on August 13, Kayham made a post, Sounds of Italy, and she spoke about me in the post, in the audio file, and she also wrote about me. I believe it was her who wrote the blog post that was on the site. Now, I want to read out the section that is to do with me. And it's got a subtitle, Getting Our Brains Wrapped Around the Flat Earth or Ball Earth Skeptic Subject. And I'm going to quote this verbatim. And again, this is from August 13. Quote, JLB, you mentioned to me on the 21st of May that you had a purpose in bringing up the Flat Earth, aka Ball Earth Skeptic Subject. What might your purpose be? This has been your sole subject recently, as in beating a dead horse. You also have questionable known figures such as David Weiss on your program and ignore his background. The reason I am concerned is that the rash of Flat Earth, aka Round Earth Skeptic videos and audios, is a known campaign of misinformation. You are behaving as if you are part of this campaign, and you are having and supporting guests on your show that have questionable backgrounds. You seem to agree with everyone, no matter their stance. This seems manipulative to me. Another strike against you is that you have come from the Jeff C camp, and Jeff C is a known deception artist. I am officially challenging you and your motives. I am tired of watching others get emotionally and intellectually manipulated by these Flat Earth and Ball Earth Skeptic videos and audios, and wish to point out how it is done and who is doing it. I am giving you a chance to respond. To the reader, if in reading the previous paragraph your stomach tightened and you became emotionally uncomfortable, then you are emotionally wrapped up in this subject. This is not a good place for a researcher to be in, because you are no longer thinking neutral. You have taken a side. As researchers, we should be on the side of the most compelling information. There is significantly more supporting information on the side of a spherical Earth than a flat one, yet it remains a subject of intense inquiry. This one should have been put to bed months ago. I must, in good conscience, let the reader know that there are widely differing opinions on the validity of the Flat Earth or Ball Earth skeptic theories. Several of us fakeologists find the Flat Earth or Baller Skeptic videos and audios and their authors as part of a sophisticated COINTELPRO campaign that has invaded the internet. You can read the particulars in this Clues Forum post, end quote. And I'll get to that post later on in this presentation that I'm making today. So back on with Kay Ham's post on August 13, quote, I'm a researcher, not just a video watcher. Researchers look behind the information handed to us to see where the truth sits. Having researched much of the information behind the Flat Earth or Baller Skeptic videos and audios, I see misinformation and misdirection everywhere, and it appears to be on purpose. It is almost like these authors are targeting fakeologists in a strategic manner. We were a powerful force with the public before these Flat Earth videos came along, and now not so much. What were we researching before these Flat Earth or Baller Skeptic videos and audios descended upon us? Perhaps that is where we should continue our efforts. JLB, nothing personal, but you appear to be part of this COINTELPRO campaign as you are betrayed by your actions. In this age of information overload, I feel it is my duty to help the overwhelmed reader navigate through the deceptions found on the internet. In my honest opinion, the Flat Earth or Baller Skeptic subject is one of those deceptions. Beware, for here be dragons, end quote. And I believe there were a few replies, so I'll see if I can find those as well. Sorry for the dead air. Let's see. Now, one of the posters on Fakeologist replied, and I'll read out Kayham's reply to their reply. Quote, unreal. On the subject of the shape of the Earth, all we have is one image of the ball Earth from space that we can safely suspect is photoshopped. She's quoting Unreal here. Art Bell was brought in to defend the very model Kayham seems to find the most plausible, which is quite counterintuitive if the official theory of celestial mechanics and the nature of the Earth was such a clear-cut case. And that was, again, that was Kayham quoting Unreal. This is Kayham's response now. The Art Bell debate was a setup, a fake, not a real debate, a show to let regular people see the Flat Earth supporters as preposterous and ridiculous. Just like Jim Fetzer or Judy Wood, Art Bell is controlled opposition. The entire debate seems scripted, in my honest opinion. Is the Earth flat? JBL certainly does not claim so, she quotes Unreal, and then replies, precisely my point. JLB conveniently avoids taking a side, yet talks endlessly on the subject. JLB's behaviour is just as Simon describes in his post on Flat Earthers' discredit by association strategy. She quotes Unreal again, is the Earth round and or does it spin? JBR asks these questions, and rightfully so. Kayham replies, Unreal, these are all good questions about the Earth. Why do they have to be framed around Flat Earth or Baller scepticism? Why can't these questions be framed around simple questions about our Earth? In fact, these questions about the Earth that we all live on would be better served as a separate subject, not intertwined with the Flat Earth or Baller Skeptic debate. John Le Bon complicates the subject immensely by attaching Earth questions to a foregone conclusion of Flat Earth or Baller Skeptic. The entire Flat Earth debate takes legitimate questions about our Earth and wraps them around a publicly acknowledged crazy idea. Why not just take each Earth question and make a video of it, sans Flat Earth? No, this will not happen because there's an agenda afoot and JLB is following it precisely. Have you read Simon's post about it? I am choosing not to ignore all the signs of deception that JLB is demonstrating. If it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck. End quote. Wow. Then Unreal replies, why do you demand answers from the host of a radio show? The host is there to make the opinions and views of guests heard most of all. I'm surprised that you, as a podcast host yourself, would demand this of JBL. End quote. And then Kayham replies, because on the 21st of May, John said he would give them to me. And by the time that exchange was finished, it was now August 16. And then on August 17, Kayham made another post. Quote, I am not looking to convert one single soul to my way of thinking about JLB. I fully understand your position. My only hope is that others who see the same pattern of suspicious behavior from JLB will know that their opinion is shared and that they are not alone in their considerations. End quote. So that was the first one, and again, that was on August, started on August 13 and went through to August 17, the quotes that I read out. Now we'll move on to the next lot of quotes. This is from Ab had posted the Ball Earth Skeptic episode 11. That was the one where we invited the Ball Earthers on to make their case for a Ball Earth, and so Ab posted that video to his blog, and then underneath, Kayham made a reply. Quote, here is a couple of good videos that give some pretty good evidence that the Earth is a sphere. The Earth is flat, Rory Cooper says so, part one, the Polaris Conundrum. And the Earth is flat, Rory Cooper says so, part two, The Horizon Problem, end quote, and she embeds one of those videos. And, of course, they were made by Mare Zilla character, who was one of the Ball Earthers who was on episode 11, who I did not know was coming on the show. I told Red's Rhetoric that he could bring along a friend, which is fair enough, and he didn't tell me who that would be, and I trusted him to bring on someone decent and civil and polite, and we even talked at length in the Skype conversation, myself and Red, about the importance of getting on somebody who could have a conversation and not, you know, be a stooge. And of course, anyone who's listened to that episode knows that that's exactly what Red and especially Zilla were. They were just stooges, constantly interrupting. No real civil discussion was had. It was very shambolic, and it didn't reflect well on the Ball Earthers, I'll tell you that. But anyway, the point is, in this post underneath the Ball Earth Skeptic 11 episode that Ab had posted to his blog, KM is posting videos by one of the very characters who was on my show, who proved himself to not be civil or reasonable. But here KM is posting his videos, and that's all I need to read from that one. Interestingly, just as a little side note, The Reason has posted an image that says Mr. James May, the BBC's professional Ball Earth promoter, Ball Earth Skeptic Show, John Le Bon, The Reason. So The Reason has made this image themselves. They've got a photo of who I infer is a BBC character named James May, and The Reason is suggesting that James May is Mare Zilla. And I've seen this posted elsewhere. I do not know if this is true or not. It would be very interesting if that were the case. I haven't actually spent enough time trying to compare the voices or anything, but interesting little side note. Anyway, we'll move on to the next one. And this is from August 25 underneath an audio chat that KM did. And I want to read out this quote again verbatim. I agree with you about the weird psychology going on here with the Flat Earth. It is frustrating to listen to all the garbage and nonsense coming from these Flat Earth videos, this one included, end quote. And she's talking about a Mark Sargent video here, I believe. Back on with the quote, it is sad the amount of gobbledygook these Flat Earthers can spout. For instance, around 24 minutes. And she goes on to critique the video. If you think listening to Flat Earth videos are going to help you understand this universe you live in, then you are mistaken. They are talking absolute nonsense and tricking you into thinking they are making sense. Let me assure you, they do not make sense and you will never understand them because there is nothing to understand. I think people are assuming the guys on the video know more than they do and are actually making sense. I guarantee you they are not making sense. I can't prove that to you. You have to prove it to yourself by watching videos that support the Earth as a sphere, end quote. And in this particular post, KM doesn't refer to me specifically, but I thought that was an interesting piece of prose that she would write about the nonsense of the Flat Earth. And then the last one that I'd like to read out is from August 29, so just a couple of days ago in my time. Quote, Ab, about interviewing Mark Sargent, since he and the whole Flat Earth lot are basically oral BS artists, having a conversation with them would result in just more BS, as in their roundtable nonsense. I experienced this when I interviewed John Le Bon. I had over 20 questions for him when the interview ended. I couldn't get to my questions in because John steamrolls the conversation. This was the first interview I had ever done where I could barely get a word in. You experienced this yourself when John Le Bon came on the audio chat here at fakeologist.com. He rambled through several subjects, not letting others respond, before he went on to other topics. Sidebar, I remember when I complained about the first Jeff C. roundtable talks, when mysteriously 7 people in one call never talked over or stepped on each other in conversation. That is not real life. We here on our audio chat get 3 people on a call and we step on each other. Now here comes John Le Bon and he magically rectifies that situation by being the mediator. I complained and John shows up with a solution. Strange. Perhaps the best method for getting questions answered is an email question and answer format. In other words, we can only pin them down on paper. I realize John Le Bon is not Mark Sargent, however the BS is still the same. And then, end quote. And then she replies to her own comment, and this is on August 30 now. She says, quote, wow, my statement feels really harsh reading it back. Problem is, it appears to be true according to all I've encountered so far. How to tell the truth without hurting feelings is tough. I feel bad reading it, but I stand by what I wrote, end quote. So I've just read out a number of pieces of writing from KM over the course of just over 2 weeks, from August 13 through to August 30 on fakeologist.com, and when I do upload this to my channel, I'll link to all of these underneath the video on the info box so people can check them out for themselves if they so wish. Now, I probably should give the background. Now, I did do a show. KM invited me onto her show back in May on the 21st, she says. I believe her. I haven't double-checked, but that sounds about right to me, about 3 months ago or so. And it was a very jovial, cordial conversation. I enjoyed it. She was a pleasure to talk to, and Del Qua was there as well. I think Rollo was on as well at the time, and very pleasant conversation. I don't have any ill feelings about it, and I wasn't aware that she did until I read this post just in the last couple of days. So I'll have to go back and revisit that one and listen again and see if indeed I did steamroll the conversation. But generally speaking, that's not my style. Generally, I like to ask people questions and let them speak, and maybe I did steamroll the conversation. I don't know. I have to go back and double check. But that's not how I remember it at the time, and I don't remember anything being said about it at the time. So anyway, so that's all Kayham's opinions about all of this. Now I want to read out the thread that she was referring to on Clues Forum. Now, for those who aren't aware, Clues Forum was begun many years ago now by Simon Shack, and he's had a lot of help from a character named Hoi Polloi. And it started off, or it seems to be mostly focused on 9/11 fakery. But they also talk about a whole bunch of other things. And Fakeologist, Ab, who runs Fakeologist, appears to have been inspired by a Clues Forum, but they have like a loose affiliation, I suppose you could put it like that. Many of the contributors to Fakeologist also contribute to Clues Forum and vice versa. Ab often interviews Simon Shack. So even though there's no formal association, there is a loose association, at least in my opinion. This is just my opinion. You can make up your own mind if you follow both Fakeologist and Clues Forum. Now, on July 13, Simon Shack posted a thread under their NASA fakery section of their forum, and it's entitled NASA's Flat Earth DBA Strategy, Discredit by Association, the Oldest Trick in the Mind Control Book. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out this quote, this post verbatim, and his follow-up post, and my reply in this thread. And again, this is going back to July. So this was before the things that I read out from Kayham just a moment ago. This is from July. Her posts were all in August. And of course, today, like I said, is August 31 for me here in Brisbane. So I'm going to read out this quote verbatim, so please bear with me here. Quote, "Dear Clues Forum readers and contributors, I think it is high time for us to react, address, and call out the current, escalating, yet all too transparent, DBA strategy, discredit by association, adopted by NASA's propaganda department, clearly designed for damage control. NASA has by now been roundly exposed as a total fraud. And, of course, they weren't going to just sit back and let a growing number of honest, legitimate grassroots researchers lead the fledgling NASA truth movement, for lack of a better term, and tranquilly diffuse their findings to the general public in any sort of snowballing or unimpeded fashion." End quote. And I'll just say here, Simon Shack writes really well, and he uses lots of inverted commas and italics and underlining. I'll try and do my best to read his post in the fashion that I think it was intended, but you'll have to read it for yourself to get the full impact of it, because like I said, he writes really well, and my reading of it won't do it justice, but I'll try my best. Back on with a quote. "What NASA has rolled out is a carefully planned and coordinated viral DBA co-opting campaign centered on the Flat Earth meme and, I will hastily add, with respect to those who may honestly entertain alternative cosmic models of their own, this fact should be clear as day to anyone, regardless of whether you reckon we live on a globe, a cube, a pancake, or a Wiener Wurstel. The point being, it is by now painfully obvious that the objective of this NASA campaign is to associate and equate in the general public psyche anyone questioning NASA to mentally challenged raving crackpots. Tim, hey Joe, did you watch that NASA rocket launch last night on TV? Heck, there was CGI written all over it. Joe, oh my god, Tim, taking your meds lately? Duh, I bet you also believe the Earth is flat. In the last half decade or so, I will proudly point out, no research community that I know of has contributed as much or worked as hard as Clues Forum to inflict the aforementioned damage to NASA's credibility. I think we owe it to ourselves and to our vast body of research and findings representing untold hours of collective efforts over the years, not to just sit back and watch this latest NASA mind-twisting game playing out, and the snowballing in unimpeded fashion. Not that I have any idea or magic recipe as to how to counteract the mighty NASA propaganda machine, but at least I wish to make my stance very clear on this issue. Admittedly, and so far, I have myself mostly just lazily sat back and watched this flatulent scheme unfolding, quietly cringing at the apparent success of it all. Then again, what sort of failure could one possibly expect from any government-backed, NASA-budgeted propaganda operation? I have to say, though, even if it hurts, that the nutwork is getting noticeably better, smarter at casting their supposed random grassroots John does like you and I gatekeeping characters. Their steadily growing mushrooming team of flat earth experts come NASA bashers is manned, with a few exceptions, such as the crude David Weiss clown, by reasonably intelligent sounding, well-spoken individuals whom you might mistake for, with a little imagination, truly sincere and well-meaning proponents of the flat earth theory. Mind you, and on the other hand, their unfailingly over-slick videos, a la Ace Baker, give them away for what they are. But this clue may be lost to the casual viewer of their supposed amateur audio and video media productions. I won't list here any of the well-spoken entities right now, as my intent with this post is only to generally address this transparent DBA operation and to voice my concern about the fact that, unfortunately, some otherwise smart people I know of appear to have fallen for it at one level or another, if not exactly hook, line, and sinker. However, I can't resist to share with everyone this lame, yet wholly expected by yours truly, development of the increasingly desperate NASA damage control efforts. It's a video by one David Ridlon, who appropriately describes himself as a professor of pixel poo on his YouTube channel. Please note that the only two related YouTube channels listed there are those of Eric Dubay and Geronism, two active flat earth proponents, whom Mr. David Ridlon is supposedly working against. If you can't muster to watch this whole thing, let me just tell you what it's all about. Mr. Ridlon, the pixel poo professor, is quite bluntly, lo and behold, equating the flat earth believers with the NASA disbelievers. End quote. And then Simon embeds this video, flat earth and NASA hoax debunk slam dunk. And then he also lists another video back on with the quote. And for those may bother to realize what sort of truth seekers we are up against, here's the touching personal profile of a late, yet already hyperactive, entry to the Flat Earth Experts come NASA Bashers team, namely the aforementioned Geronism, who put up his YouTube account, pardon me, in February of this year. And this is a quote from the Geronism channel, apparently. The level of deception that has been perpetrated on the public is nothing short of disgusting. As a former Catholic who broke free to become an atheist, I saw both sides and saw that both are stuck in their dogmatic beliefs and both are guilty of no longer thinking for themselves. I am different. I have learned throughout my life that you should never, ever listen to humans. They lie, distort, deceive, and confuse, and all for self-profit. I've been studying for 4 years and I've finally started to see through the deception by opening my eyes. So now I try and teach what I know. The world is full of so-called intellectuals who are nothing more than parrots who repeat whatever science says with no thought of their own. Spreading lies is disgusting, and I blame NASA most of all. They have stolen our tax dollars, told lies, and concealed the truth, hoping to find others like me as I attempt to bring down these Luciferian fools known worldwide as NASA. And that's the end of the quote from Geronism. So Simon then finishes off his post with the following. Those who might still be a bit confused, I don't blame them. Yes, those flat earthers appear to do the right thing, i.e. denouncing the grand NASA scam. Yet this is exactly what NASA wants, to associate people who believe the Earth is flat with those denouncing NASA. As it is, NASA desperately needs to lead, i.e. to stay on top of the ever so slowly surging wave of public realization awakening and to control their own inevitable downfall so as to postpone it as long as possible. To ensure the longest possible time span for their ongoing mass deception, they are counting on squeezing every last drop of human gullibility available on this Earth. Get it? Do you get it? End quote. And again, this was from Simon Shack on 13th of July, 2015. And for those who might be watching this on my channel later, who for one reason or another aren't familiar with Simon Shack, I have promoted his work on my many shows many times, in particular September Clues and Clues Forum. If you're not familiar with Clues Forum, then you need to get familiar with it. I'll leave a link underneath this video on YouTube for you to check it out. And if you haven't seen September Clues, then you need to watch that as soon as you can. If you're not busy tonight, go and watch it tonight. Get a copy. You can watch it on YouTube for free. You need to see it. Many people have already seen Ace Baker's work. Well, Simon Shack, from what I can tell, was doing this work before Ace Baker. And if you look into the history, I think Simon Shack accuses Ace Baker of plagiarizing his work. It's actually a fascinating story, all of it. But the point is, Clues Forum doesn't just talk about no plans on 9/11, although that's a big aspect of what they do. They talk about Vic Sims, the fact that we're told 3,000 people died, but when you look into their stories, it's utterly ridiculous. And they also talk about a whole bunch of other hoaxes, contemporary hoaxes, ones that are ongoing as we speak, And there's a lot of research that goes right back into all many different topics. I've often spent hours, you know, especially Sunday nights, because for some reason I just can't sleep on Sunday nights. So usually if I'm spending hours researching a topic on Clues Forum, it'll be on a Sunday night, just spending hours on one of their many detailed topics. You have to go and check it out. And the point of all of this is Simon Schack is the leader. He's the guru of Clues Forum. And this, what I just read out was a post from him on July 13. This is a follow-up post in the same thread. And again, the name of the thread is NASA's Flat Earth DBA strategy, DBA standing for Discredit by Association. And this one's from July 14 of this year. Quote, "For the NASA downfall history books, I just wish to state for the historical record that as I started to look into the grand NASA scam back in 2009 or so, I was able to find one and only one article on the entire World Wide Web questioning the International Space Station by one amateur astronomer named Alexander. Here is the original link to it. Although, as you can see, it is now gone. However, the article can still be found on this club conspiracy website. At the time, I could also find one and only one YouTube channel questioning modern-day NASA exploits by one Archangel for Mike. Here it is. Unfortunately, I see that Archangel Mike already has that Geronism mentioned in my above post as related content. But that may not mean anything as far as Archangel's sincerity, legitimacy is concerned. After all, Geronism is exposing NASA, isn't he? All this is to say that back in 2009-10, there were very nearly zero critiques to be found of NASA's modern-day purported space exploits. Of course, I'm excluding the old Apollo hoax, of which lots of material was widely circulating, and has been ever since the great Bill Casing dared speak out about it. Due credit goes to the fearless individuals of this world. To be sure, today, and only 5 to 6 years on, there is now a very large and growing number of YouTube videos. For better or worse, YouTube simply is the only internationally known on-demand TV station accessible to private citizens, video makers, denouncing the modern-day NASA fakery in one way or another. Now, I suppose that we, here at Clues Forum, what with our relentless efforts over this half decade to expose the grand NASA scam, should rejoice about this fact. However, and this is a big however, if you do a cursory review of these many new NASA denouncing videos, you will see that most of them are associated to the Flat Earth meme. This is, in any case, what I've been seeing so far, but I can't say I've done a proper statistic about this as yet. Just saying." End quote. Now, there's a number of other posts in this thread, but I'm about to read out my own reply to the thread, which I posted on July 15, so just a couple of days after Simon Schack first began the thread. And I'll read this one out verbatim. Quote, "This thread reminds me of another on this forum in which I had intended to post my thoughts. I have not been able to find it, but in that thread, the central point of contention appeared to be the matter of what does Clues Forum exist for? What is its purpose? If members have differing conceptions of what Clues Forum ought to exist for, then naturally they will disagree about how it should be operated. I had intended to post in that thread something along the lines of, I haven't contributed anything to this forum directly, and so I offer this as somewhat of an outsider's perspective. I've spent countless hours, often well into the morning, reading through all kinds of threads, from space fakery to dinosaur fakery to Breivik fakery. I will likely never be able to properly thank the contributors for collectively constructing such a wealth of facts and ideas, well organized for somebody like me to spend as much time as he wishes, exposing himself to new ways of thinking. All I could hope is that whichever moderation policy is enacted into the future, it will most effectively ensure that people who are early in their journey for truth will find the site to be the treasure information and open discussion I found it to be. As coincidence would have it, what I term the neo-flat earth phenomenon took hold of the independent truth-seeking sector of the internet just as I was getting into Fakeologist and Clues Forum. I now host the Baller Skeptic Roundtable every Wednesday and expect to continue to do so through the end of the first season, perhaps another few weeks. This will naturally lead to some suspicions about my motivations for being here on Clues Forum in the first place, and I take no offense if such suspicions are openly aired here or elsewhere. Within the YouTube truth community, I have already been attacked as a Jesuit-trained CIA shill sent to discredit the truth community, a flat earther pretending to be on the fence, and a ball earther pretending to be a flat earther. Such is life for the true skeptic. Getting back on topic, there is no doubt in my mind that some of the leading neo-flat earthers are compromised. Which figures are legitimate truth seekers and which figures are here to distract, divert, discredit everybody else? I don't know for sure, but I have my own suspicions. By being able to invite neo-flat earthers onto my show and ask them questions, I feel I have one of the best vantage points to discern not only which information is credible, but which proponents offering this information are legitimately about seeking and spreading truth. In the meantime, I hope that the questions I ask neo-flat earthers and the responses they give will assist others in making these judgments for themselves. Is it possible that NASA and related bodies have decided to engage in a discredit by association strategy as outlined by Simon in this thread? Of course. Is it possible that the powers that be are genuinely surprised and afraid of the speed with which the neo-flat earth phenomenon is sweeping the internet and are thus engaging in a strategy of FUD to scare people into believing neo-flat earth is about discrediting other research? Of course. Other possibilities abound. The fascinating thing about neo-flat earth research is that it leads one to recognizing that the entire scientific establishment is an utter fraud. Would NASA risk the reputation of all of science in order to protect NASA space by themselves pushing the neo-flat earth phenomenon? Possible. But what a gamble and what a risk. The YouTube truth community might only number in the thousands, and the legitimate researchers within that community might only number in the hundreds, but they are now being exposed to critiques of things as elementary as the theory of gravity by people like myself who profess no belief in any recognized religion. The tremendous work that was being done by Clues Forum is now being exposed to a whole new audience, an audience comprised of individuals who generally are not as inclined to read mountains of text and respond in kind. And make no mistake, presenters like myself are then encouraging listeners, watchers to go to places like Clues Forum and see the kind of thorough, independent research which is already being done and is ongoing. A genuine feedback loop whereby YouTubers become Clues Forumists and vice versa would be something to behold. If NASA believes the small pocket of the internet we find ourselves in is important enough to discredit via elaborate plots, which seems more than likely to me, then why would they not be concerned about indirectly, and in many cases directly, encouraging that same pocket to challenge the scientific myths which predate NASA itself? It seems like cutting off one's nose to spite one's face. In some ways, I find myself hoping that this is what is going on, that NASA is behind some of the leading neo-flat earthers. If so, it suggests to me that they are not in control of the situation and the spread of ideas when I had in the past resigned myself to the apparent reality that the powers that be were in complete control and had nothing to fear from the masses. I have more thoughts to add, but this post is already long enough. I think anybody who took the time to read through it all, and especially those who respond. Sorry, I thank anybody who took the time to read through it all, and especially those who respond. These are just my opinions, and as the past 6 months have shown, my opinions are subject to change when new evidence is put before me, which is, I would have thought, one of the basic precepts of taking part in a forum like this, end quote. And again, that was my reply back on July 15. Now, subsequent to that, Simon Shack did reply to another person in the thread. Don't believe he replied to me. Hoi Polloi, who is like the 2IC of Clues Forum, also left a post. Now, I might as well read that one out verbatim, why not? This is from July 16 by Hoi Polloi. And for those, again, I know that all you fakeologists all know very well who Hoi Polloi is, but this video, I am hoping to do this into a video to upload to my channel at some point in the future. So for those who aren't familiar with Clues Forum, you should be aware that Hoi Polloi was a big player in putting together the VicSim report, which exposes that the people that we were told died on 9/11, it's not just that they're fake, they're very easy to prove are being fake. And so Hoi Polloi and Simon Forum worked together to put together a dossier exposing the VicSims. And Hoi Polloi is one of the moderators at Clues Forum and is one of the more prolific posters there, and occasionally is on Fakeologist as a contributor as well. So, like I said, he's like a 2IC of Clues Forum. So I'll read out his post in this Flat Earth DBA strategy thread from July 16. Quote, "Great post, Simon. Much needed to be said about this, and you finally spelled it out for everyone to read. It's quite true, in my mind, that regardless of any logic within Earth science, questions brought up by various people claiming to be interested in the topic, a huge portion, possibly even a majority, are posting on the topic, making videos and sites about the topic, and otherwise bringing it up to distract and discredit anything remotely resembling critical thinking. Perhaps it is a completely desperate strategy in the face of everyone asking too many questions of their world lately. Perhaps there is some grand purpose. But I see it as a positive sign, honestly, that the only major derailment method they have to invest in lately, besides busybodies muddying posts and turning the conversation to personalities instead of facts, is to demonize the asking of questions that nobody knows the answer to. Hey, don't ask that. Nobody knows the answer. Smiley face. Reminds me of an old quote I heard once, something like, don't bother questioning authority, they don't know either. Flat Earth is probably only targeted because it is used colloquially and ubiquitously as a foil. Unicorns also come to mind when one mentions Flat Earth. At this point, those making these hoaxes are willing to pull out all the stops and use every little strategy available to make people make fun of creative thought. Is it like a war against art led by self-loathing or self-obsessed artists? Sometimes it seems so. Not to derail the conversation too much, but I think it's tied to this phenomenon. Art, good art, is supposed to help people realize and wake up to truths and discovery in maybe an emotionally respectful and safe way that honors people, humanity, and the personhood of real individuals. There is something else happening lately with all these hoaxes that I can't or shouldn't, I mean, really be classified as that sort of cultural medicine or practice. It's closer to a cold experiment and auto-removal of personhood or respect from the goal of the art and the artist. It's like a sort of anti-creation goal, which sickens people and infects them with worry and stress. This is one of the reasons I identified the Vixim as a kind of psychological tapeworm. End quote. So there were a few more posts, but the thread didn't really get that much attention until just a couple of days ago, and Simon Shack made another post in which he argues that the flat earth map, the azimuthal equidistant map that's often used by flat earthers, can't be legitimate because that Ushuaia, that South American city that's in the south of South America, which allegedly gets 17 hours of sunlight at Christmas time. And this is something that we brought up on our show, might have been episode 7 or 8 now, but it was something that I said made it very difficult for the flat earth map being presented. And can't remember who our guest was on that episode, but I seem to recall him agreeing with me that this was a big objection to the flat earth model being proposed by many flat earthers. And at the time, my co-panelist David Weiss said that he thought it could be explained. He tried to explain it as well. You know, if it's all over the sea, then because there's no landmass in between the city in question and Africa, then the moment the sun leaves Africa, it'll, you know, the people in this city will see it. And then from the time it leaves South America all the way till it gets around to Australia or New Zealand, again, it'll be visible because there's no landmass in between. And I thought, well, that's not really a convincing explanation for me. This is still one of the troubling aspects of the flat earth model that stopped me from calling myself a flat earther. And there's a couple others as well, which I might touch on later. And so we actually did cover this very thing that Simon Shack has posted about. We covered on my show live on the air when we had a flat earther on the show as a guest. And so I won't read that one out verbatim. Now there's a couple more replies in the thread, and again you can go and check this out for yourself. So far I have read out Kayham's posts, particularly the ones about me from August. I've read out Simon Shack's post in his thread at Clues Forum, and I've read out my reply in that same thread. And now I would like to move on to reading out just a few things that I think people should familiarize themselves with and come to their own conclusions about. Now, we all know that Wikipedia is entirely controlled, and you wouldn't go there if you wanted the truth, but you would go there if you wanted to find out what they want us to think is the truth. So let me read out to you guys verbatim the opening stanza, if you like, from the opening passage from the article on gravity. This is wikipedia.org/wiki/gravity. Quote, gravity or gravitation is a natural phenomenon by which all things attract one another, including stars, planets, galaxies, and even light and subatomic particles. Gravity is responsible for the formation of the universe, egg creating spheres of hydrogen, igniting them under pressure to form stars, and grouping them into galaxies. Gravity is a cause of time dilation. Time lapses more slowly in strong gravitation. Without gravity, the universe would be without thermal energy and composed only of equally spaced particles. On Earth, gravity gives weight to physical objects and causes the tides. Gravity has an infinite range, and it cannot be absorbed, transformed, or shielded against. Gravity is most accurately described by the general theory of relativity, proposed by Albert Einstein in 1915, which describes gravity not as a force, but as a consequence of the curvature of space-time, caused by the uneven distribution of mass and energy. For most applications, gravity is well approximated by Newton's law of universal gravitation, which postulates that the gravitational force of two bodies of mass is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. Gravity is the weakest of the four fundamental interactions of nature. The gravitational attraction is approximately 10 to the negative 38 times the strength of the strong force. 10 to the negative 36 times the strength of the electromagnetic force and 10 to the negative 29 times the strength of the weak force. As a consequence, gravity has a negligible influence on the behavior of some atomic particles and plays no role in determining the internal properties of everyday matter. On the other hand, gravity is the dominant force at the macroscopic scale. That is the cause of the formation, shape, and trajectory, orbit, of astronomical bodies, including those of asteroids, comets, planets, stars, and galaxies. It is responsible for causing the Earth and the other planets to orbit the Sun, for causing the Moon to orbit the Earth, for the formation of tides, for natural convection, by which fluid flow occurs under the influence of a density gradient and gravity, for heating the interiors of forming stars and planets to very high temperatures, for solar system, galaxy, stellar formation, and evolution, and for various other phenomena observed on Earth and throughout the universe. In pursuit of a theory of everything, the merging of general relativity and quantum mechanics into a more general theory of quantum gravity has become an area of research, end quote. The gravity is at the center of their entire story, not just of the shape of the Earth, but of their entire explanation of our existence, isn't it? I mean, you please go and read this for yourself and understand that this is their official story. This gravity is magic. It really is. Gravity is a cause of time dilation. Without gravity, the universe would be without thermal energy. On Earth, gravity gives weight to physical objects, causes the tides. It has an infinite range, cannot be absorbed, transformed, or shielded again. It's magic, okay? Gravity's magic. Now, why am I reading all of this out? Well, I've got a couple more articles I'd like to read. Just give me a second, though. All right, where was I? Yeah, so I just read out the first passage of the article on gravity on Wikipedia. Now let's move on to the gravitational constant, wikipedia.org/wiki/gravitational constant. And I've gone to the section entitled History of Measurement. And again, this is the official story, quote, "The gravitational constant appears in Newton's law of universal gravitation, but it was not measured until 71 years after Newton's death by Henry Cavendish with his Cavendish experiment, performed in 1798, Philosophical Transactions 1798. Cavendish measured G, big G, implicitly, using a torsion balance invented by the geologist Reverend John Michell. He used a horizontal torsion beam with lead balls whose inertia in relation to the torsion constant he could tell by timing the beam's oscillation. Their faint attraction to other balls placed alongside the beam was detectable by the deflection it caused. Cavendish's aim was not actually to measure the gravitational constant, but rather to measure the Earth's density relative to water through the precise knowledge of the gravitational interaction. In retrospect, the density that Cavendish calculated implies a value for G of 6.754 times 10 to the negative 11 meters cubed per kilogram per second squared," which all sounds very complicated, but the point is, end quote, sorry, the point is here, that's very close to the constant they use to this day, okay? And the reason why this is so significant will come more clear later. Back on with the quote, "The accuracy of the measured value of G, big G, has increased only modestly since the original Cavendish experiment. G is quite difficult to measure, as gravity is much weaker than other fundamental forces, and an experimental apparatus cannot be separated from the gravitational influence of other bodies. Furthermore, gravity has no established relation to other fundamental forces, so it does not appear possible to calculate it indirectly from other constants that can be measured more accurately, as is done in some other areas of physics. Published values of G have varied rather broadly, and in some recent measurements of high precision are, in fact, mutually exclusive. This led to the 2010 co-data value by NIST having 20% increased uncertainty than in 2006. In the January 2007 issue of Science, Bixler et al. Described a new measurement of the gravitational constant by atom interferometry, reporting a value of 6.693. An improved cold atom measurement by Rosie et al. Was published in 2004 of G at 6.671. 2015 study of all previous measurements of big G led to the discovery that most of the mutually exclusive values can be explained by a periodic variation. This variation has a period of 5.9 years, similar to one observed in length of day measurements, hinting at a common physical cause, which is not necessarily a variation in Big G. End quote. Yada, yada, yada. So why am I reading this out? Why am I reading out the history of the measurement of Big G? Well, again, you need Big G for their simple equation to determine the force of gravity between two masses. And I know it's difficult if you're just listening to this, but it's not that difficult. F, the force of gravity, equals mass 1, the first object, mass 2, the second object, divided by the radius between them, squared, times by G, times by Big G, the constant. So you just take the two objects, and all you need to know is one of their mass, the other one of their mass, the radius between them, and the G constant to determine the force of gravity. So the G constant is central to all of this, and again, we've already established that gravity is central to everything. Now that G constant, as they admitted in that article that I just read out to you from their official mouthpiece, Wikipedia, they state openly it was determined in the late 1700s by hanging heavy balls from a torsion balance. Now, if you believe that they could determine the force of gravity by hanging heavy balls from a torsion balance 200 years ago, then I can't help you. There's nothing I can do to help you. Go on believing that if you so wish. That's entirely up to you. But here's where it gets really silly. This Cavendish character wasn't even trying to determine Big G or the G constant. He was trying to weigh the Earth. And according to official science to this day, he succeeded. I'm not kidding you. If you didn't know this, don't feel ashamed. I only discovered this myself a couple of weeks ago. It's incredible. Let me read to you the first passage from the Cavendish experiments, wikipedia.org/wiki/Cavendish experiments. Quote, the Cavendish experiment performed in 1797-1798 by British scientist Henry Cavendish was the first experiment to measure the force of gravity between masses in the laboratory and the first to yield accurate values for the gravitational constant. Because of the unit conventions then in use, the gravitational constant does not appear explicitly in Cavendish's work. Instead, the result was originally expressed as the specific gravity of the Earth, or equivalently the mass of the Earth. His experiment gave the first accurate values for these geophysical constants. The experiment was devised sometime before 1783 by geologist John Michell, who constructed a torsion balance apparatus for it. However, Michell died in 1793 without completing the work. After his death, the apparatus passed to Francis John Hyde Wollaston and then to Henry Cavendish, who rebuilt the apparatus but kept close to Michell's original plan. Cavendish then carried out a series of measurements with the equipment and reported his results in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, 1798. The article goes on to the next subheading, the experiment. The apparatus constructed by Cavendish was a torsion balance made of a 6 foot 1.8 meter wooden rod suspended from a wire with a 2 inch 51 millimeter diameter 1.61 pound 0.73 kilogram lead sphere attached to each end. Two 12 inch 300 millimeter 350 pound 158 kilo lead balls were located near the smaller balls about 9 inches 230 millimeters away and held in place with a separate suspension system. The experiment measured the faint gravitational attraction between the small balls and the larger ones, end quote. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this as an audio file, it might be difficult for you to picture this. I strongly encourage you to go and look this up. We're talking about the Cavendish experiments, and you need to understand that they still claim to this day that these experiments determined G, very close to the G constant they still use to this day. They say, oh, well, we have other experiments, you know, atomic interferometry, and it turns out the G constant is very, very close to within 1% of what Cavendish came up with. You have to understand, they're still trying to pass this off as real science. And not just any real science, the real science for the G constant, for determining the force of gravity, gravity being what underpins their entire description to us of what the universe is. You can see the significance of all of this. And on episode 11 of the Ball Earth Skeptic Roundtable, we invited on some Ball Earthers, and the Red's Rhetoric character invited with him this Mare Zilla guy. Now, I didn't expect him to openly admit the Cavendish experiments on the air. I couldn't believe it when he did. He was trying to avoid the topic of gravity, and he was very clever with his rhetoric, but ultimately we pinned him down on gravity. We said, well, we'll talk about the geometry of the ball, but first, we can only be on a ball if there's gravity. And you had a 90-minute presentation where you barely touched on gravity. You skimmed over it. It's a huge assumption to make, so let's spend a bit of time talking about it. And eventually we got him to talk about it. And I said to him, where does the G constant come from? Now, I would have expected him to say, well, we have experiments that we can do, and yada, yada, yada. There was some done a few years ago, yada, yada, yada. And I was expecting to then have to say to him, well, is it true that it was originally determined with the Cavendish experiments by hanging heavy lead balls from the roof of a shed 200 years ago? But I didn't have to do that. You could hear him rustling paper. When we finally pinned him down on gravity, you could hear him rustling his paper. And then he said, well, I know that we had the Cavendish experiments. I was sitting there thinking, wow, they're actually going to admit to this live on the air. This is incredible. It's utterly incredible to me that modern science would use heavy balls hanging from the roof of an eccentric scientist's shed to determine the mass of the Earth. No matter what shape you think the Earth is, if you believe that you can determine that by hanging heavy lead balls from the roof of a shed, there is literally nothing that I can do for you. It's the same as if you believe that Moses could part the seas. If you actually believe that could or did happen, there is nothing that I can do for you when it comes to this topic. Nothing. I don't think there's anything that anyone can do for you. If you believe that Moses parted the seas with his bare hands, whatever it is that Moses is alleged to have done, I don't even know what that story is. I'm pretty sure he parted the seas with his bare hands. If you believe that, then you go for it. And if you believe that science determines the mass of the Earth, or the gravitational constant for that matter, by hanging heavy balls from a torsion balance 200 years ago, then you go ahead and believe that. The point of all of this is for me to say, I bring these things up and I want people to think about them. Clearly, many people aren't aware of this. Many people aren't aware of the Cavendish experiment. I certainly wasn't. Now, was I taught about this at school and they just skimmed over it and I just didn't critically analyze it? That's possible. I took physics in senior high school. It's quite possible they mentioned this and I just accepted it as a given. But I don't accept it now. Not one bit. I think anyone who does accept this is brainwashed. They're indoctrinated. They're not thinking clearly. This is absurd. This is nonsense. If anybody else tried to tell you that they could weigh the mass of the Earth by hanging heavy balls from the roof of their shed, you would think that they were either a fraud or crazy or both. And yet that's the official story, my friends. By doing my show, the Baller Skeptic Roundtable, that's what I'm doing. I'm being skeptical of the official story that they give us. I'm not a flat earther. I have some serious problems with the flat earth models that have been presented. And until I can get around them, I can't call myself a flat earther if being a flat earther means accepting one of those models. But certainly I have far more problems with the ball earth models that are presented. Because the ball earth models need gravity. You have to understand that. They fully admit it. They need gravity. Without gravity, there's no spinning ball. And without this stupid torsion balance experiment, there's no gravity constant. And without a gravity constant, the whole thing falls to pieces. It's as simple as that. Now, if you go back to that post by Kayham, you'll notice, one of the ones that I read earlier, you'll notice that she constantly talks about the flat earthers and the ball earth skeptics, the flat earthers and the ball earth skeptics, the flat earth videos and the ball earth skeptic videos. She probably mentions them, you know, 5 or 6 times, and in all bar one, she puts the ball earth skeptic and the flat earth in the same sentence, suggesting they're the same thing. Well, you will not find any videos on my channel of me saying that we live on a flat plane. You'll find 12 episodes of me criticizing and critiquing the ball earth model. Now, it goes without saying that flat earthers are naturally going to be, by definition, skeptical of the ball earth model, in that they've rejected it. So it makes sense that these are the kind of people that I would have on as guests on the show. But if you listen to what I talk about on my show, you'll notice that I question the flat earthers as well. And you'll notice that I focus my attention on the ball earth model. I don't know what we live on, but I know that this Cavendish experiment is a joke, and it's absurd. And I also know that their entire ball earth model depends on it. And for me, it's as simple as that. When I got those ball earthers on the show, and they dodged and dived and ducked and weaved and didn't want to answer gravity, there's a reason why. To me, it's an obvious reason why they would do that. They can use all the maths in the world that they want to prove anything they want, if they are allowed to get away with their assumptions. And I'm saying I'm going to question those assumptions. And that's exactly what I've done with my show. I'll question those assumptions and I'll let the listeners make up their own mind. And I say this all the time. That's all I can do is ask the questions, let the other people tell their stories, let the listeners make up their mind. If the listeners make up their mind that we're on a flat earth, despite the fact that I have on my show pointed out the problems with the 17-hour days, as Simon Shack did subsequent to me bringing it up on my show, if people they still want to believe we're on a flat plane, even though there are some of these objections to their model, that's up to them. And if you want to believe that you live on a spinning ball, despite the fact that you need to believe in the Cavendish experiments, then that's up to you. I'm not here to tell anyone what to think, but I will tell you what I think, and I will ask you why you believe what you believe, and that's what I've done. That's my question to you, Kayham. You challenged me to explain myself. Well, let me put out a challenge to you. Are you going to sit there and tell me that you believe in the Cavendish experiments? And if your answer is that you do, then that's fine. I won't try and change your mind. That, for me, that's where the conversation starts and finishes. If you say that you don't accept the Cavendish experiments, well, now you've got some research ahead of you, because now you're going to have to work out where the G constant comes from. Where do you get big G if you're going to reject Cavendish? And you're going to try and tell me that it was just by amazing coincidence that he came up with the exact same figure that they're now telling us they can get with their atomic interferometry and this kind of thing? Really? Well, we'll find out. Like I said at the start, I don't take any personal offense to people accusing me, whether by implication or explicitly, of being shill. I don't take personal offense to that. And it's happened to me so many times now that if I did take offense to it, I would have got out of all of this a long time ago. And it's only increasing. More and more people are making videos about me, and I don't even watch them. I don't even. Firstly, I've got better things to do with my time. But secondly, what am I going to gain from it? Are they going to provide any actual evidence that I'm a shill? No. The best thing that they can do is say, oh, well, you know, he does a show with David Weiss. Well, the episode that you guys did with David Weiss, I listened to it. I thought it was terrific. And when Del Qua uploaded, I think it was Del Qua who uploaded it, either Del Qua or Media Fakery, one of the two, uploaded it to their YouTube channel. I posted underneath that, and this was back when YouTube comments were connected to Google Plus comments. So this was essentially me promoting the work by promoting on my Google Plus page, promoting that episode. I said, people, go and listen to this. Make up your own mind about David Weiss. I'm not here to tell you if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I enjoy doing my show with him. I find there's a decent overlap in some of our beliefs. I said at the end of our Baller Skeptic Roundtable episode 12, the season finale, I said a personal thanks to him. Were it not for him motivating myself and Matrix to do the show, I don't think we ever would have done a Baller Skeptic Roundtable. We never would have done a show like that. It was his enthusiasm that led to me doing that show, and it's a show that many people, the feedback that I'm getting is they enjoy the show. They enjoy the kinds of things that we talk about. They enjoy the way that we talk about them. And that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for David Weiss's enthusiasm. Now, I understand lots of people will say, well, he claims to have known people who died on 9/11. He claims to have known them personally. And then when he was pressed for information, his answers were terrible. I completely agree with you about all of that. If you then want to make the inference that he is a shill, and that's all it is, by the way, it's simply an argument from inference. We're going to infer from his terrible explanation that he's one of those people paid to put out disinfo or whatever. To me, that seems like an inferential argument, which you're allowed to do. You're allowed to make arguments from inference. That's fine, but understand that's what it is. If you want to infer from that he is a shill, that's entirely up to you. If you're going to make another step and infer that because I would do a show with him, that makes me a shill as well, well, that's up to you. I don't think that's very sound reasoning. For me personally, whatever you think of David Weiss, I said at the end of the season, and I'll say it again, we're not for him, the show wouldn't have happened. So for me, I see working with him on the show as being a positive. And if I ever felt differently about him, then I would stop doing the show with him. I don't know him. I've never met him in person. I don't know what his story is. And I have said publicly, and I'll say it again, I don't believe his friends died on 9/11. I don't actually believe anyone died on 9/11. This was something where Simon Shack and Clues Forum was so useful for me personally, because they laid it out. Like, well, why would you have anyone die? Like, if you're willing to accept that there were no planes, which is just obvious once you actually look into it, and you're willing to accept that there were a lot of victims, which again is obvious once you look into it, and you have to think of this logically. If there weren't 3,000 who died, why would you have anyone die? Like, why would you? There are people like, oh, no, maybe a couple hundred died. Well, why? Why would you? If you're in control of the whole thing, if it's all just a movie, why would you have people really die in the movie and then have real family and friends, you know, investigating and agitating and all the rest? Why would you bother? You wouldn't. Well, I don't think anyone died. And I don't think David Weiss's friends died. But I've never met David Weiss in person. So all I know of him is from the conversations that I've had with him on and off the air. So I can't sit here and say that I know that he's legitimate. I don't know he's legitimate. I don't know you're legitimate. I don't know. I've never met Simon Shack. I don't know that he's legitimate. I've never met Kayham or Aborado. I don't know that they're legitimate. All I can do is come to my own beliefs and stick with my beliefs. And I've got beliefs about lots of people, good and bad. But I don't go around calling people shills unless I can prove it 100%. And I can't prove that with David Weiss or with Aborado or with Simon Shack or with Kayham. I can't prove it, so I don't speculate about it. And as someone who presents a show, I think it's important for me to always remain diplomatic. I mean, we had 9 or 10 guests on the show, 9 or 10 Flat Earth guests on the Baller Skeptic Roundtable Season 1. Now, out of those 9 or 10, it seems to me quite plausible that one or more of them may have been there for nefarious purposes, whether that is at the level of simply using the flat earth, you know, the neo-flat earth phenomenon to make money, or whether that's there to push disinformation on behalf of an organisation like NASA or someone else. Of course. And having had the chance to speak to these people on and off the air, I've been able to come to my conclusions about them. And that's why when they're on the show, I ask them questions, I let them tell their story so the listeners can make up their own mind. Now, if people are out there saying, well, John hasn't called these people out as shills on his show, that makes him a shill, well, that's up to them. But that, to me, that's such faulty line of reasoning. The people who would pursue that line of reasoning, I don't really care about their opinions. You know, and the more that I do my shows, the different shows that I do, the more that I do my research, the less and less and less I care about most people's opinions, because I realize they're just not thinking through that clearly. If people want to believe that I am a shill, that's fine. That's up to them. I've just spent the last hour or two, I don't even know how long I've been talking right now, going through the things that have been said about me, the arguments that have been made about discredit by association, my response to that, and I've also spent some time looking at gravity, which is fundamental to the whole ball earth model, and saying, right, now it's up to you guys to make up your own minds. I've now said my piece on all of this, and I'm happy to talk about all of this, but for me, most of my talking is done now. I've done an entire season of the Ball Earth Skeptic Show. It took 3 months to get through the 12 episodes. For me, that's enough now. If people have been following this properly and they're still convinced that we live on a spinning ball, that's up to them. There's really not much more point in me talking to those people. If people have spent those full 3 months and they're convinced it's a flat plane, despite some of the problems with the model, I would like them to get in touch with me to explain away the problems, like the one that's touched on in that thread. There's not really too much more that I can add about all of this. And I will say this, I've got a lot of feedback from people saying, oh, when's season two of the Ball Earth Show? When, you know, I'm thinking to myself, why do you need the Ball Earth Skeptic Roundtable? Why do you need that? The books are all out there and the information's all out there. And the most important thing, which is thinking, you have that ability if you choose to exercise it. And that's what it is. It's exercise. The more you use it, the better you get. And Fakeologist and Clues Forum have been they've been my gym. They've been the gym where I've worked out my thinking muscle and my questioning muscle to the point where now, you know, I feel like the show that I originally started doing, the Australian Roundtable podcast, we're coming towards the end of the first season, episode 50. I'm at the point now where, as much as I love my co-panelists on the show, I kind of feel like I've gone down on a different path with all of this. You know, over the course of the last year, I've gone from certain beliefs and worldviews to ones now that are largely different. You know, and our show started off as a news analysis discussion roundtable where we would read out an article and then give our take on it. Well, my take now with most of the articles is, this is fake. And we're at the point now where I kind of feel sorry for my co-panelists, because where do they go from there? You know, it started off, we'd read out an article and then give an alternate take on the article. Whereas now I'm saying, hold on, why do we believe any of this article? You know, and unfortunately, I think to a large extent, I don't want to speak for them, but I think my co-panelists still do believe, you know, some of what's in the news is real. Whereas I'm at the point where I'm like, well, yeah, some of it might be real, but I'm starting off from the foundation that this is probably nonsense. So where's the truth in it? Where's the second or third sources that you've cross-referenced to even be presenting this as legitimate information? If it's just straight from the newspaper, then why are we even pretending that it's real? You know, the whole fakeology line of thinking is one that I've adopted. It's now it's not one that I have to put on my fakeologist hat. It's just the way that I see things now, and that's how I see things with this ball earth stuff, and that's why I'm here right now saying that gravity is a hoax. In fact, the next video that I want to upload is going to be entitled Gravity is a Hoax. Who would have thought that? Hey, John LeBond starting a year ago talking about, you know, fake shootings, which are nothing. They're child's play. Who would have thought that in a year I'd be sitting here saying, forget the fake shootings. Now, let's look at science. Let's look at the heart of science. Let's look at the heart of the thing that we're taught the most important thing they have to teach us right at a young age, that we live on a spinning ball. And let's look at their arguments for it and where those arguments came from, where those equations came from, where their constants came from. Let's look at all of that with our fakeology line of thinking. And when you do, the ball earth model falls to pieces. It's that simple for me. That's where I'm at right now. So, done my Ball Earth Skeptic Show, 12 episodes. I thought it was a good season. The feedback's been terrific. Will there be a season two? I don't know. I'm not really sure that one's necessary. What more needs to be said? I'm pursuing other lines of interest and research now that the debunking of the ball earth model has led me down. For me, this is just one more step. And I don't know, this is one more station. I don't know how many stations are left on this line. A lot of people, they got stuck at the shooting hoaxes. And some people, they stayed on the train a bit longer and they made it to the next station, which was, nuke fakery or certain aspects of World War II fakery, holohoax, this kind of thing. You know, terrific. And then some of us stayed on the train a little bit longer and next thing we know, we're questioning the shape of the Earth And sadly, and I've said this before a number of times, I think a lot of people, they're getting stuck there. They're jumping off at that station. That's as far as they want to go. Yeah, well, not me. I'm going further. This does go a lot further. And that's where I'm headed right now. And just as I've had people in the hoax-busting community accuse me of being a shill for saying that nukes are fake, and just as I've had people who know that nukes are fake accuse me of being a shill for saying that the ball earth is fake, you had better believe that the next thing that I move on to, I'll have flat earthers saying that I'm a shill because now I'm poisoning the flat earth well with the next lines of inquiry that I've got planned, and so on and so forth. And the further I get, the less I care on a personal level. People can say whatever they like about me, and all I can do is, like I said, sit here for an hour or 90 minutes, whatever it's been, present to you my line of thinking, my response. I replied to Simon Shack's thread 2 days after he made it. I'm yet to get a personal response in that thread. I can make this challenge to KM. I can say, KM, I hope that I've answered your challenge. Now here's one for you. Prove to me the G constant. And I probably should finish. KM said that when I spoke to her on the 21st of May, I believe it was, that I told her there was a reason for doing my show. Well, that reason should be obvious right now, because I have serious problems with the ball earth model. And the further I look into it, the more problems I have. And I think it's important. And I can't see how anyone, a genuine researcher, could fail to see the importance of this. But that's just me. And there are no hard feelings on my end. If after hearing this and after reviewing what I've said, you are still convinced that I'm part of a discredit by association strategy, that I'm on the payroll, or that I'm somehow or otherwise motivated to mislead people, if you still want to believe that, that is entirely fine. I won't try and change your mind. I think I've said all that needs to be said in this presentation. I'll be happy to respond to anything further that comes if it seems like it's legitimate and well-intentioned, and that's really why I would spend this much time making this reply, is because I am very confident that Fakeologist Includes Forum and many of their members and contributors are well-intentioned. You know, Kayham isn't the kind of person to go around calling people shills without genuinely believing it. At least I don't think she is, not based on what I've seen. So, and I know that her many lines of research are genuine. I've learned from them, like with the dinosaur fakery research and that kind of thing. So that's why I would take the time to do this. But if after my reply, Kayham is still convinced that I am a shill, that's entirely up to her. But for reasons that I'm sure many of you can appreciate, I won't be able to take her as seriously as a researcher, because this will be, to me, a blatant error in research. But it's easy for me to say that because I know me. She doesn't know me, and you, the listener, unless you've met me in person, you don't know me. So believe whatever you want. I'm not going to take it personally. I would hope, though, that if you're going to call me a shill for being a ball or a skeptic, you would be able to either prove that it is a ball, and good luck proving the G constant, my friends, or you come up with something better than John does his show with David Weiss. Because you want to talk about discrediting by association, well, yeah, what can I say? Anyway, that's enough for me. It's 1:20 in the morning. I'm starting to feel like it's bedtime. Thanks for bearing with me, everybody. Like I said, I live with people. I don't want to wake them up, so that's why I'm talking. Hopefully I haven't woken any of them up. But I thought, rather than just sit there and do more research into the dino hoax or something like that, I thought, no, I'll try and do this response. I've been meaning to do it. So I hope you've got something out of this. And like I said, I'll upload this to my channel on YouTube at some point in the future. So if you've been listening to me on my YouTube channel, thank you for listening. All the links will be provided underneath this video in the info box. And if you've been listening to me on Fakeologist live stream, thanks for listening. Or on the audio chat that Ab uploads, thanks for listening. I guess it really doesn't matter how you're listening. Thank you for that. And I might as well sign off the standard sign-off. It has been John Le Bon on the 31st of August on Monday, 2015. From about midnight to about 1:45, and you've been listening to Fakeologist Radio. You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the plane. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. And that's the intro, but I've read it out as the outro. It doesn't really work as an outro, does it? You've been listening to Fakeologist Radio. With John Le Bon on August 31. And I hope you have a lovely day wherever you are on this beautiful and wonderful world of ours.